It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take him out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby, what is happening? Feels like I can't wait for this game. This week is kind of moving by, it's too slow. Chiefs, Niners, of course, on Sunday. Good morning to everybody out there getting off their graveyard shift. If you're at work, what is happening? If you're getting off of work, what is happening? You know the overnight dancers are going to be in business this week. Business is booming. Well, is it booming? Yes, it is booming. We're having fun, man. We're having fun kind of reliving some history and kind of rethinking the 3rd and 15 play and how that's altered the course of history. How's changed Andy Reid? You know, Bill Belichick, Bill Walsh, Andy Reid, all these great coaches, they all had breaks go their way. And if they don't get those breaks, do we think of them as the great coaches today? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, it's crazy how sports works. One play could change everything.
I mean, I think about the Giants, 3 championships. You could pick apart a million different things. Yeah. Brooks Conrad,
yep.
Cody Ross, you know, like all these little tiny moments.
Yep.
And it's like any one of them goes in the other direction. Did the Giants win 3, let alone 1?
I don't know.
And is Bruce Bochy viewed the way he is now?
Probably not.
You know, Don Shula. There's so many great coaches that I think about. Joe Gibbs. They all have these moments in time. Tom Landry, you know, like the end of Tom Landry was the 81 championship game. Until the next year when they, you know, went right back to the championship game. Like things like that happen and we kind of forget about them. And we're like, their demise was this moment. Was it? You know, it's just, it's crazy how these things work.
So our next guest here is a color commentator for the Kansas City Chiefs. Played his college ball at Iowa. I got a Rose Bowl question about that. I wanted to know if he was on the Rose Bowl team for the Iowa Hawkeyes when he lost to Washington. I remember that as a kid. But Danning Hughes, and you got to tell, he's living a good life right now. He's calling Chiefs games. He's got Mahomes throwing passes all over the place. And his first ever reception happened. It actually came from a throw from Joe Montana. Listen to this.
Now facing a 3rd and 6. First down. Danning Hughes makes the catch over the middle. The Chiefs play today without one of their top picks from this last draft, Lake Dawson. They're going to need something out of Danning Hughes.
Well, that's right, and he looks good on this. If you see him, he's got 2 defenders coming after him, and they're chasing him down. You're not going to see it, but they were chasing him down, and Montana laid the ball right out in front of Danning Hughes, and he pulled it in, and he just got over the place he had to go for the first down.
Now, I believe that's a young Joe Buck, and I think that's Bill Moss on the color. But Danning Hughes, his first ever catch in the NFL, comes from the great Joe Montana. So let's welcome in Dana on the River Islands guest line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Is it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? Dana, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us here out on the West Coast. Joe Shasky, the Butcher, Bonte Hill. And tell me you got that ball signed by Joe Montana. Tell me you got that ball somewhere in the game room. Your first ever catch comes from our favorite quarterback out here.
Yeah, man, that was definitely a special memory. I will say this, though, before we get started. You started off that intro on a down note, man. You said about the Rose Bowl, which we lost, and then you said you were a kid. You're trying to make me feel old, but then you redeemed yourself, so I'm good. You started talking about a catch with Joe Montana, so we're all good now. But, yeah, those are great times, great memories with Joe.
You know, I was just trying to flex my knowledge around here. That's all. I was like 12 years old. My old Pac-10 history, and I was like, 1 year out of nowhere, the Iowa Hawkeyes were in the Rose Bowl. I was like, oh, those colors are cool. Look at the helmets. Yeah. What's going on here? We watched it. Who was the quarterback then? Was it Billy Joe Hobert you guys played against?
Actually, it was both of those guys, Brunell and Hobert.
Yep.
Yeah, so they were loaded that year. I think they had like 8 first-rounders on their team. I mean, they were loaded those 2 years in a row when they played Michigan and played us in the Rose Bowls.
No, they were good. Lincoln Kennedy, a company here. But let's get to the Kansas City Chiefs, man. The Chiefs, obviously, 5-0. And were you commentating back in 2019 with the Kansas City Chiefs?
I was not. I was doing the pregame and postgame shows, but I didn't go into the booth until the next year.
Yeah, I figured that. I was doing some research on that. So, but that we talk about the play 3rd and 15. wasp is what they call it, 2-3 chip wasp. And we're just talking about how that play has altered the course of history. If the Chiefs don't convert that play, Niners probably win that Super Bowl. We're thinking about Shanahan differently, Andy Reid differently, Mahomes differently here. But now that you've gotten to watch Patrick Mahomes for so many, what makes him so special on a day-to-day basis? Because we see it on television. We're like, wow, this guy's awesome. Yeah. But what do you see that really separates him from the pack?
Man, I tell you what I've seen from a maturation process with Patrick Mahomes has been incredible. From that game or that season, actually the season before that when we lost to Tom Brady in the AFC Championship in overtime here at Arrowhead Stadium, then just seeing incrementally every year him get better at something. And I think that's the real cool thing, because obviously you've been around football, watched football for a long period of time. There's times where quarterbacks plateau. They, like, get to their best. There's not much more you're going to see from them. Some of them have been able to sustain that success for a long period of time, and some haven't. But with Patrick, he's been able to sustain that success, but then from an inside perspective, which is what we have in the booth, he's a guy that's gotten better. You think about his production this year. It's not, the numbers are not eye-popping. It's not as efficient as we've seen him in the past. But in the last game, when he threw for over 300 yards, didn't have a throw over 15 yards. Like, if you look through the course of his 7 years at the helm, we haven't seen Patrick just take what the defense gives them like he's doing now, where teams are playing that Tampa 2, the 2-shell, where trying not to give up the big plays. And he's shown that he's had the patience to take what the defense gives him. And that's worked well for us, even though he'd like to have some of those interceptions back. So for me, he's just a great leader. Everybody rallies around him. And contrary to like what we've seen from like Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, who were great guys, even now Aaron Rodgers, you never hear him throw receivers under the bus. You never hear him talk about how he's going to not throw it to a guy because they ran the wrong route or weren't on the same page. He trusts the entire wide receiving core and tight ends and now running backs, and doing it with his number one running back out for what may be the season, his number one and number two receivers out, which may be for this season, and yet we're still being proficient on offense. So to me, this year, even though the numbers might not look as glowing as they've done in the past, this might be one of his more impressive seasons with what he's dealing with.
You know, Shanahan gets compared to Andy Reid all the time for a lot of the shortcomings with the clock and losing big games. And but since Andy Reid's won that Super Bowl, it feels like he's evolved as a coach, as a play caller, and perception-wise. What are the things that you've seen that have evolved for Andy Reid, both when it comes to how to build a team, how to call a game, and just how to close games out down the stretch? Because now they feel inevitable in these tight game situations. It always feels like the Chiefs are going to win.
Yeah, I think he's just created a calmness. It's always about the next play. We've seen, especially around here in Kansas City with Todd Haley, that whole era, we've seen coaches lose it on the sideline. We've seen them get outside themselves. We've seen opponents going against Andy Reid and this Chiefs team get outside themselves. I think about John Harbaugh and how great he's done it with the Baltimore Ravens. But you go back to the AFC Championship where they only ran the ball 6 times, that's getting outside yourself. Andy doesn't get outside himself. Yeah, we can get a little cute at times with different creative plays, but I think that's the part, even though sometimes those plays don't work, that's the part that galvanizes this team, is that he allows them to have their personality, he allows them to have their input, and then he allows them to have fun and feel comfortable doing so. There's no way in the world that I could have played with Joe Montana under Marty Schottenheimer and thrown a lateral to a trailing running back to try to get a first down like Travis Kelce does. There's no way in the world that Joe would even think about throwing the ball with his left hand like we've seen with Patrick Mahomes, or no-look passes like we've seen from him. But Andy embraces that, and even if at times those things don't work, you never feel like you're going to the principal's office when you go to the sideline. I think that's where Andy's kind of separated himself from a lot of coaches that have come and gone in the league or currently in the league because he allows these guys to just enjoy the moments, enjoy the games, prepare as winners, but at the same time create memories on the field while winning games.
Okay, so Niner fans just obviously fear Patrick Mahomes. So, you know, that's obvious. But Kelsey as well. And then Chris Jones. Do Chiefs fans fear anyone on the Niners? Bosa, Purdy, CMC. Like, I know he's not going to play this weekend, but who do you guys fear on the Niners?
Yeah, I don't know if fear is the right word. I would say they have the utmost respect for all of those guys, including George Kittle, who's a former Hawkeye. And, you talk about Trent. Well, I mean, they got studs across the board, offensively, defensively, across the board. And there's the utmost respect for them. And, you know, like you said, outside of, two or three plays, you're talking about the Niners winning two Super Bowls and the Chiefs not winning either one of those. So, we have a respect for them. We know we were fortunate enough to win those games in the Super Bowl, the biggest games ever. And there's no kind of animosity towards them. I know there's a lot of people, especially since we'll be coming out there, that are licking their chops, looking for this opportunity, probably waiting for this opportunity since the schedule came out, to have some sort of retribution against the Chiefs. But from our standpoint, we've been down this road already. When we played the Baltimore Ravens, that was week one of the season, and we just considered it week one. I'm sure the Ravens were thinking about retribution and trying to get back, but that's not the case. We went down to Atlanta and they said it was the biggest game in Mercedes-Benz Stadium history. And what we said was, oh, it's just week four. Like that's literally how we look at things, or week three, I should say. So that's kind of the mindset where this team has been, is that we're just taking it game by game. We know there's going to be a lot of emotion that's going to be generated for this matchup, this rematch, and we're just going to try to take it and try to escape with a win.
Danan Hughes here on the River Islands guest line. Calls Chiefs games in the booth with Mitch Holstis, of course, of the Kansas City Football Radio Network, of course. Chiefs are rolling. They're 5-0. They're coming to town. It's a Super Bowl rematch. We talk about this defense. You mentioned Chris Jones and these linebackers, Bolton and company, and then their DBs led by Trent McDuffie. For a long time, I thought Kansas City's weak link was the defense. Hey, keep their defense on the field, keep Mahomes off the field. But now this defense is blitzing. They're stuffing the run. What makes it? Is it Spags? What is he doing with this defense and this unit and the personnel that makes them so damn good?
Man, I tell you, I think that's pretty much the most unsung statement, I should say, in regards to this Chiefs run is how, because we have the superstardom on offense, that the defense doesn't get the love that they should get. And you hit the nail on the head, because this defense has literally carried us to a 5-0 start this season. And you can even go back to last season, how they were able to shut down teams and the way they were able to do it, to the tune of, we haven't allowed a 28-point score from another team in a record-breaking times, over 25 times already, from last year to this year, consecutively. So, in the day and age where teams are scoring points in bulk, we're not giving that up. And normally a Spags defense takes some time to get going. Last year, it took a few weeks. The year before that, it took a few weeks. This year, we literally picked up right where we left off in 2023. And you talk about the personnel, we got a lot of safeties that play like linebackers. Shamari Connor, Justin Reed are two guys. Brian Cook is the third guy. He plays pretty much like center field. He's the free safety. But our safeties getting close to the line of scrimmage, Nick Bolton being the leader, and then Chris Jones being pretty much unblockable on this defensive line has really garnered enough accolades and attention that they are the driving force on why we are number one in the AFC right now. So, yeah, we can't state that enough, that the defense has been absolutely nails this season and even into last season.
All right, Dana, before we let you go, I got to ask you, was there a moment in Super Bowl 54 or Super Bowl 58 this past season in Vegas where you thought to yourself, man, it's just not Kansas City's day? Was there any doubt, that little bit of doubt that crept through your head? Was it 3rd and 15 in Super Bowl 54? Because I thought, this is how Niner fans sneak dated, Shasky and I. There was a point in that game last year in Las Vegas where we thought, boy, how are the Niners going to lose this game? Mm-hmm. But did you ever get there? Did Chief fans ever get there?
I can only speak for myself. In that first Super Bowl, when it was 3rd and 15, that's when I started to wonder, because we really hadn't seen... We've seen magic from Patrick Mahomes, but you still didn't know about it consistently. So at that point, once we got Jet 2 Wasp, I was like, oh boy, this is, you know, we're heading in the right direction. We still got to get the win, but we're heading in the right direction. As far as last year, there was absolutely, and this is not a pompous statement by me at all, there was no time in that game where I didn't think that we were not going to win. There was not. Like, I just felt like as long as we kept it within striking distance, Patrick's going to come through. I just felt that. And then with the whole coin toss and you guys taking the ball, I hate to bring up those bad memories, but at that point,
right.
I was like, oh, yeah, this is a wrap, because now you're giving us four downs every single time we move the chains, and we know exactly what we have in front of us and what we have to accomplish. So, yeah, the first Super Bowl, there was some doubt. Because we hadn't seen it yet. We had gone 50 years without winning a Super Bowl, so we hadn't seen it realized yet. This past Super Bowl, not a doubt in my mind. We've got enough of a sample size from Patrick Mahomes to know that he thrives in those big moments that he did last year.
Boy, well, I guess we started our interview off on a bad note, right? Talk about that Rose Bowl, and you bring up overtime. My partner's already left the studio here. He's already in the bathroom. He can't take this anymore.
I mean, we have no rebuttal.
I
don't know what you want me to say.
It was one of the most depressing walks out of the stadium of my lifetime. All right, Dana, good stuff, man. We'll see y'all here in the Bay Area. We'll come by and say hi to you, man. Have a good call.
All right, brother. Appreciate y'all.
Anytime. Danny Hughes, good sport here. Caught his first ever pass from Joe Montana with the Kansas City Chiefs. Played there for six seasons. Of course, now does a color commentary for Kansas City and had no doubt about Vegas. But 3rd and 15, he was like, oh, this is getting hairy. Oh, man.
You know, there are certain times in life where
it ain't nothing you can do about it.
God cuts you up a slice of humble pie and forces
gosh.
You to eat it. This is kind of one of those moments. Or that was one of those moments.
How many?
There's too many of them to count. There's so many of them, I don't even know.
Oh, my gosh. How are Niner fans? We're getting closer and closer to the game. And I know we got the Warriors preseason game last night. It was a lot of fun.
You know what?
But
I'm going to interrupt you.
Close.
I apologize for that.
Go ahead.
If I hear from another person, it's just another game. It's just another game.
For them, it is.
For them, for sure. But not for us.
Yeah, no doubt.
Tell me you've never played sports in your life without telling me you never played sports. Haven't you ever grown up and there's like certain teams that you face, you just hate them. It's the rich team.
Nah.
It's the team that keeps beating you. It's the team where the mom or the dad's hella annoying, or you hate the coach. There are certain games that just mean a little more. Maybe you're facing your cousin's team. I don't know. You're beating a team or playing against a team that cut you. Like, I don't know what it is, but there are certain points in life where even though you know it's not the end-all, be-all, it just means a little more.
Yeah.
If I hear from another moron online, it's just another game.
Well, it's gotta be,
just another game.
Is there an affiliation with the 49ers with these people saying it? Because I think 49er fans, from all the Niner fans I heard, hey, Ponte, man, we're playing Kansas City this week. We're
Real,
playing Mahomes this
true
week. Like, I don't
sports
yeah,
fans
I don't,
understand
I don't,
there are like, certain games on the calendar that just mean a little something more. Is it the end-all, be-all? No one's saying that. What we're saying is that, yeah, I'm sorry, there's a little more juice for this game than when they played the Cardinals a couple weeks
no
ago.
No doubt. There is. There's no doubt about that.
Because, come on.
But I'm not going to get outraged over people outside of this market saying it's just another game.
No. I'm talking about Niner fans. So, for example, I'm gonna pull some of them up.
All right, pull up some Niner fans.
Mr. Cal Bear whatever. I don't even know. It's the name. I honestly don't care. What does the team get if they win? A cookie? What does it get us fans? Bragging rights on a regular season game? No. This game doesn't mean anything.
No,
and it barely means anything now. It's like, dude, go sit at the kiddie table. All right. You want to go finger painting and have one of those cups that doesn't spill over. You can go sit at the kiddie table.
I thought you liked the kiddie table.
What?
I thought you liked the kiddie table.
Normally I do, but this idiot needs to go sit there. All right. And other people coming in.
Whoa, listen, this is
how I feel.
Hey, let's be careful, man. Cal Bear could be a gangster. You pull up to the studio, man. And you know, it could be a different story.
We disagree on sports. I'm not asking him to I'm not asking his political opinions.
Corey
Pappas. Hey, it would be really cool to finally beat him. But at the same time, it doesn't mean that much. Because the Bills have won 3 in a row versus the Chiefs in the regular season, and they've lost 3 times in the playoffs. Now, that's a reasonable opinion.
Yeah.
I agree with that. It means something. It doesn't mean the end-all, be-all. No one is saying that. No one is saying, this is our Super Bowl. No, what we're saying is, God dang it, we got to win this one.
Yeah.
For feeling good about ourselves going into the Cowboy game and hopefully going into the bye week on a nice little win streak.
Yep.
B, in the standings, we need this. And psychologically and soul-wise, we need this win. It's not the end-all, be-all. You know what the end-all, be-all is? Hoisting a real Lombardi. Everyone knows that. Duh. Like, come on. Duh. Don't be a moron. But if you're telling me it means nothing, well, you're just an idiot. I'm sorry. You're being an idiot.
Trent Williams said it's just another game, right?
But that's what he's supposed to say.
Yeah,
that's
no
what
doubt.
I expect from the players to say.
All right, well, let's hear from Miguel and Hayward. Miguel, what's happening? Hopefully Miguel, you know, call him an idiot. Miguel, what's happening, man? Good morning.
Hey, good morning, man. I'm just getting my day started, and I'm drinking my coffee. Man, if I'm the Niners, especially George Kittle, I can't be going to the game warm-ups and shaking the other team's hand. I got to be personal. You know, I got to tell myself, you know what? They kicked my ass 2 times in the Super Bowl, and this one's personal. I got to come over here and beat them in my home crowd, because if the Niners lose, you guys are going to be talking about it. Like, you know what? If we can't beat the main captain, you know, what are we going to do going forward in playoffs?
Who's your team?
Like, if the Niners got to huh?
Who's your team?
Oh, my team? Oh, it's the Cowboys, though. But, you know, like, I'm not even talking about them like that, man.
You're just talking,
you know what I mean? Like the Cowboys.
Come on, dude. Speaking of the kiddie table.
Oh, well, you know what a Cowboy fan to say.
How about them Cowboys? Yeah!
They won a Super Bowl more recently than the 49ers. That's what a Cowboy
would
say.
That 1 year makes a huge difference.
It does. It does. It bragging rights. You can't get. There's no rebuttal for that.
It's so
listen,
funny.
There ain't nothing you can do about it.
This game is big.
We're at the Cal game, and this is not a King's Tale. This is more of a Squire story. But we're sitting at the game, and Mark Mattson, the coach of the Bears, Cal Bears, is sitting near us. And he's like, I mean, what? There's always an idiot Cowboy fan wearing a Cowboy jersey at a game that has nothing to do with the Cowboys. And we all look down. We're like, what's up, Guru? Oh, it was Guru.
Oh, my gosh.
Swear to God.
Oh, my gosh.
Can't make this up.
828, I'm not losing any sleep over it if they win or lose. I'll say this. Here's my opinion. My opinion. It's a big game for the 49ers. There's no doubt. It's a big game for the fan base, all that stuff. But say if they lose. How do they lose? What does it look like? Because I, Bonte Hill, being 42 years old now and the father of baby Chaz, can have a little perspective. If they lose a close one, last second, something goes awry, whatever, I'm going to say, you know what? I know they could play with the Chiefs.
Well, we already
know
that.
I know that. Beating them, okay, fine. You didn't win, but the form matters to me right now at 3-3. The form matters. How well are they executing at a high level? Are they tackling? Are they playing assignment football? That's what I want. That's what I want to see on Sunday. How good are they? How well offensively are they running the ball? Are they passing the ball well? Are they on timing? Where is Ayuk at? Is Ayuk back? You know what I'm saying? After the training camp fiasco. Is he back? Where's Debo at? So I want to see what the form looks like.
Well, the one thing I think is different from this year than last year. Last year, publicly, the Niners talked a lot about the Eagles. Then on game day, they all wore Air Force One, the black ones, okay?
Yeah,
They were ready to go to war. And then I watched the receiver doc, and I'm like, wow, this game meant a lot to all of these guys. They might not have said it as loud this time around. And Trent Williams is supposed, the pros are supposed to act professional in these settings leading up to it. But if you don't think that locker room is sitting there going, guys, This one, we need this one. Is it the end all? No one is saying it's the whole season on the line. No one is saying you lose this and the season's over. We're just saying this one means a little more. It means a little more for our souls. It just does.
The internet's tricking you, man. You got to stay off the internet. Stay off of Twitter. My mental health has been through the roof. Less time on X, more time on the PlayStation 5. Hey, more time with Natalie DeCasse, your new head coach, the first ever head coach of the Golden State Valkyries. She's going to join us on the other side. I can't wait to get to know Coach for the Valkyries. Natalie DeCasse on the River Islands guest line. That is coming up. Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking. No compromises. As we're saying out loud, Shasky and I, that we both believe this team could make a deep run in the playoffs.
Absolutely.
All right. Hey, check this out. This is San Leandro Mo, and you're listening to 95.7 The Game, The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky.
Oh, just wait until the Golden State Valkyries start playing basketball. Three games in, we're going to be championship. Hell, Joe Lake already said we're going to win a championship in the first 5 years.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. You can sit here and do a sugarcoat job.
Hey, no, we're not going to do that, especially with the new coach, the first ever coach of the Golden State Valkyries, Natalie DeCasse, by way of the Las Vegas Aces, a two-time champion, of course, as they went back-to-back, almost repeated. Fell to the New York Liberty, but a hell of a run for these last 3 years, of course. And Natalie, of course, the first ever head coach of the Golden State Valkyries, joins us here on the River Islands Guest Line. Don't forget, all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line. Is it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? Coach, so good for you to spend some time with us. There's a lot going on with the Valkyries, and congratulations to you. I know this is a long time coming. You've been a coach for a long, long time. You even had a cup of coffee in the NBA with the LA Clippers. Congratulations, Coach. Well deserved.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. No, I'm really excited to be here. I'm excited to meet you guys. I'm just ready to work.
Yeah, I know. Hey, you, Jess, and the whole crew, man, you guys have been doing work down there with the Valkyries, and we can't wait to meet you as well. First and foremost, you found out about the expansion draft. It's December 6th with the expansion draft. And then I believe you guys have the fifth pick in the next year's draft for the WNBA. So what is tell us about yourself, man. You played at UCLA. You've been a lifer. What did you play? What position? Tell us about yourself.
Yeah, I started playing basketball when I was six. My dad had three girls. He was hoping, you know, I was going to be a boy. I was the third child. I was supposed to be Nathan, the whole nine yards. But no, he raised us like three little basketball players. So basically, his passion turned into mine. Played point guard. I'm 5'1" 3/4". Hey, I got to own that.
Hey, point guard. You call that point guard at UCLA. That's what I heard.
I mean, never heard that, but that's okay. I mean, I'll take it. But no, just love basketball. I actually can't, you know, breathe without it. It's definitely my passion. And then obviously having an opportunity, you hear Joe Lacob, you hear the Warriors, you know, while I was coaching at the Clippers, I mean, they won 2015, 17, 18. Okay, I went to Vegas. Now they're in 22. I'm like, yo, what's going on there? I would love to work for him. I'm sure you've met him. He's a great, great human being at the same time. But, like, his passion and his energy on how he, like, accomplishes goals. And, like, I like it. He manifests. Right? He manifests, mm-hmm. He says it out there, and then, you know, he puts a lot of work behind it.
Bonte referenced some of the dates for when you guys can start getting players and whatnot, and I was listening to you with Fitz and Buki the other night. You did a great job on the telecast, but tell the Bay Area about yourself, because I think we should do some rat-a-tat-tatting. We got to know who you are, because you don't have any players right now. We don't even know what scheme we're going to run. So let's do a quick little rapid fire. I've got some great questions here, so you can explain to our Bay Area audience who you are as a person. Favorite cuisine?
Oh, cuisine. I mean,
LA girl.
Jesus. Is this rapid
fire? Just rapid fire. Like, do you DoorDash burritos the most? Or is it Italian food? Or sushi? Like, what are we doing here? Let's go.
I don't, number one, never DoorDash sushi, coming from a Japanese person. Okay. Like, never do that.
I do.
That's just straight pizza and pasta, like, if you're going to DoorDash. But, like, going to a restaurant, that's, like, steak, medium, potatoes on the side, veggies on the side.
So, real quick. Hold on, because I'm with you. I never DoorDash sushi. You go get the sushi. Eat the sushi. I don't know what you're asking. He's from San Francisco. I don't know where he got that from. But you grew up in L.A. You grew up in L.A. What's your favorite restaurant in L.A.? Was it Mexican food? Was it Italian? What was it?
Oh, Don Antonio's was my spot in Santa Monica. Okay. It's a staple in college. And then, obviously, Kazunori, it's a Japanese, like, sushi spot where you can just roll up and you just have those hand rolls ready. Oh, like that. The noti is ready.
I like how coaches talk.
Favorite player growing up? Any sport?
Ooh, come on. Give me a tie. I got Magic Johnson as a point guard and then Michael Jordan. Like, you have to be the all-time best.
Ooh, but did you grow up a Laker fan?
Yes.
So Kofi, I'm surprised.
Very quiet.
We don't talk about those things around here. We know that. But I'm surprised. I only asked that because I'm surprised you didn't say Kobe Bryant.
Well, I mean, I grew up when I was young. I was watching, Magic Johnson and Michael. Like, those were there. And then as I coached, I mean, I was coaching against Kobe. But, course, Kobe comes right. He's right there. But, I mean, Magic Johnson with the point guards, the flashiness, having fun, showtime. I'm like, how do you not want to be a part of that or be like that?
Yeah, that's true.
Favorite social media account to follow?
Oh, God.
I'm not big on social. But, hey, we're going with the Valkyries.
All right, there we go. That's lit.
What's your favorite guilty pleasure television show? Bontaze is The Real Housewives.
Oh, stop.
Oh, God. You know what I'm actually, like, in love with right now is The Bear.
Kevin Farhan.
Oh, yeah. He is intense. I don't know if you guys seen it, it's the same thing as basketball. You got to work as a team.
So, Coach, when I meet you, I'm sorry to cut you off, but The Real Housewife, I can't let that go over because that's Jasky's guilty pleasure. Love
is
Blind.
Actually.
He loves Love is Blind and Real Housewives and all that
90
stuff.
90 Day Fiancé.
But The Bear, I got to say, I fell off of season 3. I still haven't completed the last 4 episodes. I thought they lost a little luster.
Yeah, I went somewhere else. They really kind of, I think, tried to draw a different, look of what we're watching, but I kind of just honestly I went back to go watch 1 and 2 and then I watched 3 again because I'm like, why are they going this direction? But my whole point was the intensity of once they open the restaurant, every second counts. So I'm bringing the every possession counts with me.
I like that.
That to me was because it's intense, but you guys got to work together, and then it's going to be obviously arguments, but that's a basketball game. I'm sure you've seen it. It's not okay, great job, everyone. No, you get in each other's face. You tell them where to go. And it's just, I love it. I love the intensity.
Speaking of intensity, what's the latest or earliest in the day or in the early evening that Joe Lacob has texted you about strategies, players, et cetera?
No, I haven't. I'm just going to be honest. I haven't gotten that. I haven't gotten that early text, but his message again, still with me, that first conversation. I mean, it's printed, I feel right in front of my forehead where I see it every morning, championship 5 years, championship. Wow. I got it.
This is interesting because now you have Joe Lacob. You're with the Clippers from 2018 to 2020. Steve Ballmer, Doc Rivers. Then you go to the Aces, win a couple championships. You got Becky Hammon, who I think one day is going to be a coach in the NBA. And then you got Mark Davis owning the damn team. So you've been around some great owners. What did you learn from Doc and Steve Ballmer with your days with the Clippers? Where's your big takeaway?
Doc Rivers, to me, he impacted me because he gave me a voice, right? He didn't look at me, let's just be real. He didn't look at me as a female. He looked at me as a coach. And Doc really gave me my voice because he's like, hey, whatever you see, I want to know. And you don't get that a lot with coaches. And also, when he found out I wanted to be a head coach, he's like, nah, he goes, here's some advice. I'm just going to let you know. He's like, just be yourself. He's like, do not coach like me. He's like, because players smell the BS. He's like, when you give them BS, he's like, you're going to lose them. So he's just like, just be yourself. He's like, and that's good enough. So I owe a lot to Doc. And then obviously T. Lou. I was under T. Lou.
Oh, yeah,
he was obviously a very close friend of mine right now. And T. Lou was just like, go kill it. You're ready. And so hearing that. And then obviously the adjustments T. Lou does, he's a savant with basketball. And also T. Lou's one of the best communicators I've ever seen. So that's really what I learned from those two. I owe a lot to those two.
What was your biggest shock coming to the Bay Area? Was it real estate prices? Was it the fact that you have to wear a sweatshirt everywhere you go with layered clothing? I know it was hot the last week, but that's not real. What was the biggest shock when you got to the Bay Area where you didn't expect it to be the way it was?
I mean, I was warned about the real estate numbers. I was warned, but until you actually see the space that you're getting, I really kind of am, but again, the views, right? I'm going to take in the views, the water, you got to kind of take what they give you. And again, the weather's, I think it's amazing. I think it's great. I like wearing hoodies, so I'm all for it.
Yeah, we love hoodies and peacoats up here in the Bay Area. We're talking to the new head coach, the first ever head coach of the Golden State Valkyries, Natalie Nicasse, here on the River Islands guest line. How many trips did you make to the Bay Area being from L.A.? You played at UCLA. Obviously, you play Stanford and Cal, so you make that yearly trip. But was there anything as a kid? Did your dad just drive up to the Bay and say, hey, let's go check out the Bay Area?
Yeah, we did, but it was actually just straight to, you know, gyms, honestly. Mm. Like, we just went straight there because my dad, whether it was a game, it was just like, okay, let's find a gym to where you could shoot before the tournament. Like, or it was like, hey, there's an outside court. He literally one time pulled over. He's like, there's an outside court. I was like, yeah, I see it, Dad. Like, there it is. He's like, you're going to get out and you're going to get some shots up. And I'm like, dang, like, this is okay. But yeah, so that's really just what I remember. But obviously, you know, shout out to Tara, like, at Stanford. Come on, man. Like, legendary coach.
Yep.
We struggled beating them. Actually, we never beat them when I was there. We beat them at home, but we never beat them. I'm like, dude, they have some type of, like, curse on us when we play, you know, but. Nah, Tara's is, she's amazing, and credit to her, and, you know, congratulations on her retirement.
How often have you talked to Steph Curry?
Oh, I haven't.
What?
I haven't yet.
Not yet?
Yeah.
Well, the king over here can maybe make that happen.
No, I don't know what you're talking
about. Bonte's the king of media in the Bay Area. He does Warrior pre and post. Steph Curry will stop what he's doing to go over to dap him up, so maybe B can help make that connection.
Natalie, you have a key card to Chase Center. I walk up to Chase Center, they're like, you gotta wait. I gotta sign all kind of paperwork, documents, and everything like that. They don't let me out of the gatehouse. They don't even let me inside that gym anymore. All I do is cause trouble, coach. But seriously here, because you will talk to Steph, and I'm sure you're gonna be around there.
He'll be front row. I already know it.
I can't wait for the games, the Valkyrie games. All right, I'm on the season tickets and everything. I cannot wait. I don't even want to work. I just want to enjoy the game as a fan. But how do you visualize? When you visualize what the Valkyries will look like on the court, what brand of basketball do you see your team playing under you?
Mm-hmm. Defense is going to be where we're going to hang our hat. We're going to be gritty. We're going to be physical. We're going to be disruptive. I watched that game, Golden State versus Kings, and like I could just see us just have so much toughness on defense to where our defense is going to create an offense. I want easy buckets. Just right out of the gates. We're going to be probably a little bit younger, so I want high energy. And then offensively, we are going to pass that ball. That ball is going to be passed. I've learned a lot, again, like I said, from this championship culture here with Golden State, and you cannot guard ball movement. Ball movement is unguardable. Like, isolation, no. The Curry, the Draymond, going back with Clay, like, Clay, everything he did was catch and shoot.
Yeah.
He didn't dribble the ball, you know, so I want that ball to be moved, and we're going to play with a lot of energy.
I love that. I love that. I can't wait. I can't wait for you guys to have this draft, December 6th, the expansion draft, and then later on, of course, the draft and then free agency. It's a hotbed. It's going to be an attractive destination here in the Bay Area. Natalie Nicasse here on the Morning Rush on 95.7 The Game. Coach, best of luck to you. So good to meet you. Can't wait to talk to you again. We love your energy. We love your passion. Obviously, ball is life for you, so we can't wait to meet you in person.
Thank you, guys, and I can't wait to see you guys at the game.
Absolutely.
I'm going to be pointing at you. What's the play call, maybe? So be ready.
Coach, if you want, I go to a lot of high school girls' basketball games. You and I can go down to SI.
Oh, boy.
And my
Here
niece plays for St. Ignatius. She's a pretty good player. And we can go check out some of the talent. And when they play MIDI, for example, they're, like, loaded. We'll go check it out. Anytime you want to go, let's go. On this show, I go to high school girls' basketball games more than anyone.
He's just started.
Okay, I'm for it.
Let's
coach,
go.
He just started going 2 years ago, but that's okay.
Three,
coach,
technically.
Have fun, Coach. Have fun.
See you, Coach.
Talk to you later down the line.
Thank you, guys.
All right, Coach Natalie Nicasse. She's a lot of fun, man.
A lot of fun.
I had a smile on my face, man. She's hyped. I'm hyped. Valkyrie's going to be a thing, and this guy, talking about girls basketball, man. You're unbelievable.
I do. I do go to a lot of games. I probably went to 20 games last year.
I'm proud of you, man.
You know, and then the sushi comment. You know, can we just stop for a second? I just want you guys to know, I'm not some, like, I only eat, you know, what is it, the fake crab meat? What do they call it, California roll? No. I love hamachis and tunas. I love all that. I love real sushi.
Yeah, you DoorDash sushi. Nobody DoorDashes sushi.
What are you talking about?
Go pick it up.
What do you
can't DoorDash sushi.
I'll DoorDash anything. In this day and age,
honestly,
I'll DoorDash anything.
Honestly, you probably grab the sushi at Safeway.
Here, I'll look it up right now.
Like, I have it on my there's certain Japanese, like, food that you can DoorDash, like katsu and stuff like that, whether it's pork or chicken. I mean, but, like, the sushi, yeah, it's not great.
Yeah, you gotta go. You gotta eat sushi. You gotta have the sushi experience. So I love Coach Natalie Dacase. Man, it's just getting DoorDash and sushi. What are you talking about?
I'm pulling it up right now.
What are you talking about?
We were just there for Michelle's auntie's 90th birthday. We went to Barracuda in Burlingame. I was crushing.
Is that the one
on the side street?
Yeah, it's hella good. Small. Oh my
God!
Did you have the shot? It was. Oh my God!
I don't
God.
Do sake, but Michelle
no,
did a
no,
ton
it wasn't.
Of sake.
It wasn't a sake shot. Okay. It was like I gotta ask Anna what the hell that shot was. Mm. But I think we went there. I think we were at Barracuda.
So
spent like $500 in that damn place.
It can get up there.
Yeah,
but it's good. It's delicious. I'm just looking some of my previous orders here.
Now, when it comes to girls' basketball, I love girls'
saucy
basketball.
Saucy Asian, I've done.
By the way, the NBA Finals, WNBA Finals, Liberty and Lynx tied at one game apiece as he looks up sushi or whatnot because he has to prove a point about sushi. That's how you know somebody is feeling some type of way about DoorDash and sushi.
What?
Gotta prove a point.
I mean, I do it all the time.
Yeah, I bet.
Asian Fusion was the other one that we go to. It's literally right down the way on Holloway, so it's like there's no point in me getting in the car. Plus, usually when I'm ordering, it's me and the baby, and I don't want to leave the baby in the car to jump out of the car to go get something and just have it delivered.
Hey, you know, the streets are saying Hishaski gets a sushi in a Safeway deli for her.
That is the
California
most,
rolls.
That is not good. That
good
is not
quick
good.
Fight. Oh, let's go have some sushi
that
myself. Let's go to Molly Stone's.
Hey, Costco's got a great deal if you want to get a bunch of California rolls.
Really?
Though. Costco, yeah. I was at a Hawaiian Costco. That's next level. It's different.
I'm very picky about the sushi. It's got to be from certain spots. Certain spots.
No, I'm not. I love it. Don't do that. Don't do that, Lubman.
Don't do what?
Oh, you should have heard what he just told me in my ear. You want to know? Let me say it again. No.
This show's going really well.
Don't talk about that.
No, don't say it. No,
don't talk about that.
No, don't.
Stop it. Stop.
All right.
How about Natalie Nicasa, growing up a Laker fan, am I right?
Yeah, I mean, she's Huntington Beach. She should be. I respect that. You know, growing up in L.A., I would be a Laker fan. I would, who the hell wants to be a Clipper fan?
Clipper fans don't even want to be Clipper fans.
Well, Daryl, you know? Clipper. Was it Clipper Daryl? Daryl Clipper?
Hey, him Clipper and the eight others.
Yeah. Remember he got knocked out a couple years ago?
He did get knocked out. Billy Crystal?
What?
Yeah,
I missed that?
He got knocked out. You know?
Wait, well, I missed that story too. What?
Yeah, he did
this?
Get knocked out.
Did you see the video of Ballmer giving the tour of the new stadium?
Yeah, the stadium is unbelievable.
Holy moly. So they got lights on everybody's seats and they can do these light shows and stuff. And then they check the decibels of every seat. This is the new Clipper Arena. Yep. It's in Inglewood.
Inglewood, right next to SoFi Stadium.
What they did was they check your decibels. Not that they're listening in on your conversations. That's what he says. And what they want to do is they want to be able to say, okay, the loudest person for this game gets like a free jersey or something.
Oh, wow.
And they could check how loud you were throughout the entirety of the game. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, a lot of bathrooms.
Well, his big thing was, and I agree with him on this, he's like, if you're waiting in a line for food or the bathroom, you're less likely to go get food, you're less likely to spend money, and we want you in your seat watching the game. He made a lot of great points doing the tour. I'm interested to see what that arena looks like.
That arena looks pretty sweet. I've heard great reviews or read great reviews. People have told me they've already seen the Intuit Dome and been there. It is amazing. Amazing. So, but we got Chase Center, so I'm not mad at that. Try to replicate Chase Center if you want to. But Ballbird Company and the whole Clipper thing, I think they got charging ports in every seat.
Yeah.
So that's a big thing. You know, people phone. Like, I haven't had my phone die in a long time. It stays charged up. I don't know how you live today in 2024 and have a dead phone. I don't get it.
Well, the Apple phones now, like, they kind of got caught for, like, basically, like, oh, the new update destroyed your battery. And everyone's like, all right, wait a minute. There's about to be a class action lawsuit on this. And so some of the more new phones don't drain the battery as fast. And then they, you know, they don't ruin it.
What's more likely to happen? Christian McCaffrey playing in a football game this season? Or Natalie Dacase going with Joe Shasky to a high school girls' basketball game?
I don't know.
What are the odds? Because I think we're batting over so far. When it comes to Bob Myers golfing with you, you caddy for Joe Lacob. Every guess that you've, Baldy going up to the Russian River.
Hey, I throw things out there. If people don't want to take me up on them, that's on them.
No, it's a joke.
You know?
I think you're batting like over. We got to make this happen. Natalie Cossie, let's go to the SI game. Let's go. Let's get out there. Get out there, coach.
That's a great example. Like, let's say SI, right? They're having a great year this year. When they see Sacred Heart on the schedule, it means a little more. There's a reason. Like, that's, you know, it means a little more. There are certain games that mean a little more on the schedule. Doesn't mean that, like, they're not worried about the totality of their season and the big picture and all that, but there are certain games on everybody's schedule that mean a little more.
Yeah. Wow, a lot of people loving that interview. I think y'all should get tight with Dekase. That was a great interview. This should be a solid WNBA market.
She was really cool.
No, her and Jessica Smith, president of basketball operations, I haven't met the GM yet, but Jessica, her daughters were playing with Baby Chez at the Valkyries watch party. And I ran into Jessica and Say Helena Say Helena. We're doing a little event up there. And Jessica's like, we got to get our daughters together. I'm like, you're the president of basketball operations of the Valkyries. What are you talking about? But it was really cool. That's how supportive. They've been really cool. Kimberly Ville's on that staff now. They're going to do a lot of great things with the Valkyries, man. I think it's, honestly, God, I think it's going to be a home run here. And for the longest time, I thought, why doesn't the Bay Area have a WNBA team? And now that they do, I think it's going to be a home run. We're going to win this Final Four one day at Chase Center. It's going to be really fun, man. I think the Valkyrie is going to be a home run hit. I think it's going to be a grand slam out here, man.
No, I think it's going to do really well. I think there's enough of a taste for basketball in this region for them to survive. There's no doubt about it. And I think about this, right? Like, I don't know what the price points are going to be for tickets, and I don't know things like that, but I see a lot of people going to preseason games right now. They're a little more affordable for families, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, if you haven't been to Chase Center, and let's say you got two or three kids, it's a little easier on the wallet to be able to go to a game in the preseason. Now let's take it a step further. If it's the Valkyries, and let's say the price point isn't as expensive as a regular Warrior game, and you want to go to Chase Center, sit down low. It's a great experience for these kids.
And there's a lot of talent in this league. Juju Watkins is coming from USC. Paige Becker is going to be coming. But you got Asia Wilson, the MVP, is a baller with the Vegas Aces. Kelsey Plum, Chelsea Gray, the list goes on and on. This league is getting better and better by the day. Caitlin Clark, there's no doubt she's a baller. She may already be a top five player in this league. She's that good. Angel Reese is doing her thing. So this league has a lot of talent. So even if you're a fan of another team from another market, you'll be able to see them right here in the Bay Area. It'll be a great time out. You know Joe Lacob and company are going to put on a great show for the Valkyries.
People that don't care about, like, women's basketball, even a little, are like, Caitlin Clark, yeah, I'm in. Like, how many people are in on that? Yeah. Just that right there.
I would hope so. Yeah, absolutely. She's must-watch television.
I feel like the numbers kind of speak for themselves. Yeah, the numbers. The algorithm is hitting when it comes to Caitlin Clark's content.
You know, there's no doubt about that. No doubt about that. So women's basketball, and they play, like, for a long time, too, especially when I covered it. I was covering women's sports 2008, 2009, all the way through 2015. A lot of city college games, a lot of high school girls' basketball games. Whether it's SI, Sacred Heart, or Lowell, or Washington, whatever it was, I always thought the brand of basketball was always good because obviously they're playing under the rim. But the passing, the shot making, the dribbling, there was a lot of high school girls' basketball games. I thought, boy, I can't wait to cover this one, as opposed to a boys' basketball game where I'm like, what the hell is this coach doing? This offense stinks. Gosh, what are we, in 1940? What is this, four quarters? The women's game has evolved, and they play a brand of basketball that's nice pacing or whatnot, so I can't wait to see what Natalie Dekase has to do here. She's fired up. She is fired up.
Well, I feel like the color scheme for the Valkyries is really cool. I personally believe the pinks and the purples are underutilized colors in sports in general. And so that, like, what is it, lavender? I don't know what the exact tone is, but that light purple and that black looks sharp as hell, doesn't it? And the logo is really cool.
The logo is really cool. Really, really cool.
It's better than another red, white, and blue team.
Yeah. No,
red, white, and blues, just.
I'm out.
I'm out. Like the Texans, great example. The Texans did a redesign. I'm like, it looks like the Falcons jerseys just with navy blue, and B, like, nothing's changed. It still sucks. It's red, white, and blue.
I kind of like the new blue jerseys.
I kind of like the when the gloves pop, too, like that. Yeah. It's a different kind of blue, which I appreciate. So if you're going to do the red, white, and blue, they have to be different shades of it, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, I like their new, they went with these, like, City Connect that I think should be their jersey moving forward.
They're legit.
The Houston ones, whatever those ones were with the black helmet. That was cool. This?
How about this?
With the red and the baby blue, I think it was.
Before we get back to the Niners, we're going to do heavy Niners in the next hour. Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, you guys know what it is, man. It's going to be a big game on Sunday. So Warriors just got one more game in the preseason. Played the Lakers Friday at Chase Center, 7:30 p.m. Played the Lakers last night. But what they're doing is splashing. I just want to get this off real quick. Thrive City. We grew up. There's nothing around there, right? Now you got Hospital. You got Chase Center. You got Thrive City. You got Spark Social. You got Oracle Park. It's booming down there. It's like a mini city. And now they're going to have this place called Splash.